Genesis chapter 13. So last week we covered all eight verses of chapter 12. And tonight we'll cover all 106 verses of chapters 13 and 14. So keep in mind, but it's the principle. So as we go through this, a lot of it will be repetition, but we'll see as the dealing with these infectious diseases, leprosy in that sense, is how it affects the person, how it affects the clothing, how it affects the house. And so along with that, the cleansing of leprosy. So because it's one basic subject, one basic principle, and there's some repetition, we can get through these two chapters. So let's bow our hearts. Father, we thank you for your grace, your goodness, your love, and Father, your direction through this word. This book, as we're seeing, is truly a book of worship. And you've been instructing us recently about what is clean and unclean, and you've been giving us clear and beautiful implications, Lord, in through your spirit of what it is in our lives, what it is in our heart. And so we're simply asking that God, you through your grace would come and just knit us to your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. As we begin here in chapter 13, one of the two things I want to just have us to make note of prior to, for you note takers, is just kind of jot this down so that we're still on that same page. Remember when we started dealing with the priest, the sins of Nadab and Abihu, God said, I'm going to reveal myself to you. But keep in mind that when God says, I'm going to reveal myself and I'm going to show you, you know, how to approach me, you can't make it in your own mind to do something different. You can't say, well, I'm going to approach you this way now. I'm going to try to do it my own way. And so when God says, this is how you come, this is how you come. When he says you come through Jesus Christ, you don't come through works. You don't come through another way. And so as Nadab and Abihu decided, we're going to come a different way, God judged them. But in that judgment, he says this in Leviticus 10:10. He says to them, he says that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, between clean and unclean, and that you may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord has spoken by Moses. So the whole thing is about being clean and unclean, being, you know, what's right and what's not. And so I love the fact that that's the whole purpose of what we've been dealing with. When you get over to the end of chapter 14, it talks about this, and this is what we're going to be looking at. Verse 54 says, this is the law for any leprous sore and scale, for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, for the swelling and scab and a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. So as we look at this, this is what we're looking at. We're looking at, once again, at the areas that are clean, the areas that is not clean. In other words, when you know when something is right, when something is right, you do it. When you know in your spirit something is wrong, it's unclean, don't do it. When you're uncertain, don't do it. And so if you're really wondering, how do I get to do something similar, then you go before the Lord, you bring that thing before him, you ask, how can it be done in a way that it's clean? How can it be done in a way that it glorifies you? Then do it that way. But I love the fact that you don't mince around. If you're not sure if it's clean, don't do it. Just don't until you recognize, God, how does your word declare us to walk into it? So as we come through this, we're looking at just determining what leprosy is. What is this? How do you determine what's clean? How do you determine what's unclean? And looking in the sense as the spiritual sense. But it begins in verse 13, or chapter 1 of verse 13. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot that becomes on the skin of a body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the skin of the body, if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore, and the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. So a couple things to note here right at the beginning. You're dealing with a swelling, a raising of the skin. You're dealing with a scab, or you're dealing with a bright spot where the skin itself begins to change color. And so what happens is this, if it becomes to determine whether it's leprous or not, what verse 1 says is, he shall be brought to Aaron the priest. I love this because so often if I want to determine if something's clean or unclean in my life, odds are I'll just justify it. Yeah, we're good. But if it's you go to someone else, if I go to someone who loves me enough, to be honest, not a yes man, but one to truly say, yeah, I'll take the time and we'll inspect this. We'll go before the Lord. We'll pray through this. Is this clean? Is it not? And I love the fact that you don't get to decide, you know, and because if you do, you're going to say, oh, yeah, we're good. But when you go to someone else, and this is what's key about verse one, you go to someone else, to someone who is that spiritual, you know, one who's spiritually mature, and say, would you pray with me? Would you, because I'm just, this thing in my life, I just don't know. And they'll examine it. But what happens is they'll examine according to the word of God. And that's what we're going to be seeing here in these next two chapters. What does the word of God say is clean, or what does it say that is unclean? So as you come into that position, it declares this, verse 3, the priest shall examine the sore. And he makes a point where he says, and if it's deeper than the skin of his body, it's a leprous sore. So two of the things that he makes mention. One is, as he examines the sore, the first one in verse 3 is the hair on the sore has turned white. And all of a sudden, it no longer has the natural color. It's bleached, and so it turns white. And at that point, if it's deeper than the skin, so it's not just a surface thing, but you recognize it goes deeper. What's unique about this is that here we begin to see, and I love the heart of it, is as the examination, it's the issue of the flesh. That's what he's looking at. I have an issue with my flesh. I have an issue with looking at not just the surface that we do here, the physical flesh. But as you look to the New Testament, I've got an issue with my flesh. And I understand that it's an issue with my flesh. Now, the first thing he does is this. When the issue of my flesh is deep, it's not a surface issue. It's not just something that, oh, this is just like a one-off. But this issue is deep. It's in the core. There's a problem. I'm unclean. If it's just something that I just kind of did a dunderhead move, and I just kind of did something and I shouldn't, and I repent, I can do that. But it's not a deep-rooted thing. It's not a deep issue. And that's what I love about this, because if it's deeper than the skin, you've got a problem. The other thing is this. The first part of verse 3 says, the priest shall examine the sore and the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white. Now, this is interesting, because now it says it's white. Now, of course, we understand the brightness of something, and that's what he says. It's not a dull. We're going to see in a little bit there's a dull color and there's a bright color. The bright white, in a sense, is when we take a look to Scripture, when you see the Lord is transfigured, brightness. You understand? When you see the glory of God, the brightness. We take a look at all these things. And so it's just interesting as we look to that, when in Revelation, what we have, the white garments. You understand? The white in the New Testament points to a glory. It's glory to God. It's the brilliance, the white, that kind of thing. It's glory. Now, what happens is this. When I glory in my flesh, the white of my flesh, that's not so good. When you glory in your flesh, when you glory and says, oh, I'm glorying in me now, I'm glorying in who I am, issue, unclean. Do you understand? So we look at these areas, and two things that the Lord begins to point out. First off, you don't get to inspect whether you're clean or unclean. Let someone else come. Someone who is familiar with the word of God, someone who's mature, let them come and let them inspect. Now, what we're going to see is this. Usually when it comes with this inspection, it's not just, yeah, you're just done. But there's a time that comes and we inspect these things. There are certain things you and I both know instantly. This is just carnal. This is flesh. And it's deep-rooted. You got to deal with it. Other things, we need to inspect it a little while. We got to say, is it spreading? Is it staying? Is it cleaning up? Are you moving towards the Lord? Are you moving away from the Lord? And so we're going to be looking at those as well. So we understand verse 3, examine the sore. If the hair on it is turning white, if you have that glorying of the flesh, that's an issue. If it's deeper than the skin, if it's a deep-rooted issue, that's a problem. If that's the case, at the end of verse 3, then it is a leprous sore. The priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. So this is where it's going to affect you. And this is where it's a deep-rooted thing. You know it's a communicable disease at this point. And then he says this in verse 4. But if the bright spot is white and on the skin of his body, and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and his hair has not turned white, well, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the sore for 7 days. Do you understand? Don't judge it right away. There's some things you just know. But other things, if you're uncertain, like if I'm uncertain and I bring it to a brother, say, could you just pray with me? If he judges me right away, I probably won't approach him again. But if I have those brothers that will look to it and really come and take the time to inspect and take the time to look, I'll know that, yes, this is where, when he says, we're going to wait now, we're going to look at this for 7 days. So as we're seeing this in Leviticus 13, verse 4, if the bright spot is white on the skin of the body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and its hair is not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one for 7 days. And the priest, verse 5, shall examine him on the seventh day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, the sore has not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day. And indeed, if the sore has faded, and the sore has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall announce him clean. It is only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. So, as we noted initially, there's some things that are just purely evident. One, you can't judge this sin for yourself in verse 2. You have to have someone else more mature. When they look at it, there's some, the leprosy, the skin of the flesh, is evident. You have the white, which is glory of the flesh. You have this deeper than the skin, which is deep-rooted things, but there's some things that aren't. And so we see now, if you don't know, you take the time to discover, you take the time to look, you take the time to examine. And I think it's important that, you know, we're supposed to examine our hearts, we're supposed to examine our lives, we're supposed to examine our walk. And it's good when a brother who's solid in the Lord begins to examine with you. You're open, you're honest, you reveal it. Well, if it's found that it's not, keep in mind and you recognize, okay, well, it's an issue, but it's not making you unclean. So what happens is this, you wash. And I think this is important because we're going to see that this washing happens a lot, that you wash, you wash, you wash. And I think whenever there's an issue in my life that I want to deal with, first thing I want to do, wash me in your word, Lord, wash me in your word. And the same thing that I want, friends, wash me in the word. And that's so, just as Ephesians says to the husbands and wives, wash them in the washing of the water of the word. You let that word cleanse, you let that word renew. And so we see that here, it is about to be, you know, you wash your clothes and then you're clean. Now, verse 7, but if the scab should at all spread. So one, you have the scab that remains and it's really not going anywhere. Okay, well then you're okay. But if the scab spreads. Now, we understand what about sin, about leaven. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If it's growing, it depends. Am I walking towards the Lord and I'm growing in righteousness? Or am I walking away and I'm growing in my flesh? When it begins to spread, when I recognize that it's moving from this area of my life to that area of my life to that other, because sin's not going to affect one area. It's going to begin to affect everything. And so it's going to affect my relationship with God, and that reflects my relationship with God, then it reflects my relationships with people. And so it's constantly going to be going to more and more areas of my life. So I can't just simply isolate the sin is going to be just this, because it affects me everywhere. If it spreads, and this is where it is in verse 7, if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he's seen by the priest for a cleansing, then he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. So this is the first part. When you're dealing with, verse 1, a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, that's the first thing that we look at. Now, as we go into verse 9, it shifts a little bit. When the leper sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to a priest. So now all of a sudden we see that this leprous sore is not just the swelling, a scab, bright spot, but it's something more. So when it is there, the leprous sore is on a person and he shall be brought to a priest. and the priest shall examine him. And if indeed the swelling on the skin is white, and it is turned white, turned the hair white, there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling. Now, all of a sudden we begin to see that this is where the flesh is opened. This is now, you know, something that has gone past the skin. It is deep. You now have this raw flesh that's there. Well, as you look to this raw flesh, it now says this. Verse 11, it is an old leprosy on the skin of his body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall not isolate him, for he is unclean. So if it's an old thing that you haven't dealt with, and it's raw flesh, and you know this is just carnal behavior, you don't have to examine it. This is not a new thing for me. This is an old thing. Do you understand? This isn't God saying, okay, I've dealt with all these things in sanctification. Now I'm going to bring up a new thing. That's not what this is. This is old things that I have failed to deal with all my life. So in verse 12, it says this. And if the leprosy breaks out all over the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of the one who has the sore from head to foot, wherever the priest looks, then the priest shall consider, and indeed, if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean who has the sore. It has all turned white. He is clean. Now, what's interesting is this. If there is a part of the body, we would call this in the sense like an albino kind of a thing, where if someone has this color, discoloration of the skin, and it all is turning white, well, then you're not unclean. But I love what happens is this. When it takes a look at the all over the skin, just look at that phrase for a second in verse 12. When it's all over the skin, keep in mind that in the New Testament, the moment a sinner comes to the true reality that in me there is nothing good, I am completely unclean, I am completely not where God wants me, I am undone. What does God say when you come to that point? You're mine. You're good. You're either hot or cold. You're not lukewarm in this. So when you are completely undone, we recognize that about ourselves. And this is where it's so amazing to see how this Old Testament passage brings out these New Testament truths in such a powerful way. Because when I am completely undone, God says, good. Now you're clean. Now I can work in you. Now you're mine. You're not separated from me. You're mine, because I can work with that. So verse 13, again, the priest shall consider, and indeed if the leprosy has covered his whole body, he should pronounce him clean who has the sore. It is turned white. He is clean. Says it twice. Verse 14. But when raw flesh appears on him, he shall be unclean. In other words, you know when it's just, I'm in the flesh and it's a raw thing. It's just continual. Well, verse 15, the priest shall examine the raw flesh, pronounce him to be unclean. I don't have to wait on that, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Or, verse 16, if the raw flesh changes and turns white again, he shall come to the priest, and the priest shall examine him, and if indeed the sore has turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean who has the sore. He is clean. In other words, now all of a sudden it's where it's representative of something that now I know, yeah, this is the past, but I'm dealing with it. Everything is horrible. So when it's something new that pops up, I said, you got to deal with it. However, if it's a reoccurring of something old, but I still recognize I'm undone. So what happens is this, when I'm undone and I come to Christ and I give myself completely over, do you think those things that made me undone that I'm aware of are always fixed instantly? They're not. Now, when something creeps up again, he says, don't worry, you're still clean. You're still there. But if it's a new thing of the flesh, all of a sudden that's going to draw me to the point of being unclean. Now in verse 18, if the body develops a boil on the skin. So initially we went to verse 2, the swelling, the scab, the bright spot. Now we're looking at where in verse 10, he talks about the raw flesh. Now we're seeing there's something new in verse 18. If the body develops a boil under the skin. So if it's a boil or a blister, if you've ever seen the boil or a blister, it's where water begins to fill up underneath the skin, it bubbles up. So if you have that, In the place of a boil, there comes a white swelling or a bright spot, reddish white. Then it shall be shown to the priest. So you have this where all of a sudden it's a raising of the flesh. We know what the raising of the flesh is. And so when I have that, and all of a sudden that begins to turn white, where I'm glorying in the raising of the flesh, we have an issue. So we understand that the white, as we talked about, is, you know, the glory of God. It's the, we're in the white robes, Jesus' transfiguration. It's the glory, 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 but it's a white hair. It's the our glorying of the flesh. Well, it says this in verse 20, and when the priest sees it, indeed, it appears deeper than the skin, and his hair is turned white. The priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's a leprous sore, which is broken out on the boil. But, verse 21, if the priest examines it, and indeed there is no white hairs in it, it is not deeper than the skin, but is faded, then the priest shall isolate it for 7 days. Do you understand again? Take the time to wait. Take the time to not rush it. So when it's something that you're unsure of, don't just instantly condemn someone. Do you understand? Take the time to pray and say, where are you at? Where's your mind? Where's your heart? Where's your worship? Where are you with the word? And as you look to those things, you're helping someone grow. Now, as he, after the end of verse 21, he waits for 7 days, and then it's, if it should spread over all the skin, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and is not spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. So, in other words, if it turns to white, if it's the glory of the flesh, that's a problem. But if it's simply a blister or a boil, it's going to go back down, no change in it, so you're clean. Now, verse 24, we see this fourth thing that comes in. If the body receives a burn, now all of a sudden I get burned. And that burn, if you've ever been burned deeply, you realize that it goes into the flesh. Eventually, you get the white around it. Eventually, it'll scab. But if you receive a burn on the skin by fire, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a white spot, reddish or white, or simply white, then the priest shall examine it. And indeed, if the hair of the bright spot has turned white, it appears deeper than the skin, it is leprosy broken out in the burn. Therefore, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. So now we see that trial by fire. Trial by fire. And when it comes to that, there are certain things where I think really there's no greater evidences of the flesh than the trial by fire. When someone gets underneath your skin and causes you to burn. When all of a sudden the passion, the emotions. And so when that happens, we recognize, yep, When trouble comes, emotions burning, flesh is going to show what is real and what is not. Now, there is such a thing called a righteous anger. And what that is this. Usually, the greatest thing that I can always tell that it's a righteous anger is when I look at the sin in my own life. That's a righteous anger. When I look at sin in other people's life, I really have to be suspect of it. I really do. And because what happens is usually, when I am so aware of sin in somebody else's life, the reason I can see it so easily is because it's my sin. When we finish Leviticus and we go into the book of Romans, we are actually going to be looking at the whole issue where we begin to see that my sin, when I see it in someone else, that's what irritates me the most. I don't know if you've ever seen people who are like so anti-smoking. The ones who are the greatest anti-smokers are the ones who have smoked and then quit. They it's because I know this sin. I know what it is. And so it's heightened in them. And so we begin to see that when you see your sin in someone else, you're going to burn. You're going to burn. You're angry because I know that sin. It's in me and I'm trying to deny it, but I see it in you. And that's reminding me of my sin. And this is what he begins to do. So when you have this, all of a sudden, we look to just where that mindset is. So in verse 25, the priest shall examine it. Indeed, if the white hair on the bright spot is turned white, appears deeper than the skin, leprosy is broken on the burn. Therefore, the priest shall pronounce him unclean as leprous sore. But if the priest examines it, and indeed, there are no white hairs in the bright spot, it is deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. Again, do you understand? Take your time. Don't rush it. So we're repeating these things over and over again. Same principle holds true. And then he goes on to this, verse 27. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and if it's spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It's a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place. So if you ever notice that when you had a burn, there it is a white. It is a white that begins to heal. And so when that happens, he says, if it stays, if it's not spreading. So again, you've got, it's holding its own. It's right where it is. It's not getting better yet, but eventually it will. But it's not spreading. This is what he's worried about. When leaven begins to leaven the whole lump. When you're not dealing with repentance, but you're allowing sin to run rampant. And so, verse 28, if the bright spot stays in one place, is not spread on the skin, but it is faded and it is swelled. It is a swelling from the burn. The priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is the scar from the burn. Now, verse 29, it goes on to another type. If a man or a woman has a sore on the head or the beard, this is unique now. So now it's one where it's on the head, it's on the face. If you've ever seen older people, a lot of times you'll have sunspots, you'll have age spots. Those are the things where they're concerned about. Well, here he says a man or a woman now has a sore on the head, has a sore on the beard. It says this, the priest shall examine the sore, verse 30, if indeed it appears deeper than the skin, and there is in it a thin yellow hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean, and the scaly leprosy of the head or the beard. Now, keep in mind that there are a lot of times where sin is going to affect the body. But to be honest with you, sometimes the skin affects what? My head. It just affects my mind. It's in my mind. It's in my head. It's in my thinking. And that has to be dealt with. And so what we're going to see is this. I love the fact that when it's in your head, you really can't see it. But take a look at what begins to happen. It says, you know, one, if there's a yellow hair in it, yeah, it's scaly leprosy and you're unclean. But in verse 31, but if the priest examines the scaly sore, and indeed it does not appear deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale for 7 days. And the seventh day the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed the scale has not spread, there's no yellow hair in it, the scale does not appear to be deeper than the skin. It says this, verse 33, then he shall shave himself, but the scale he shall not shave. So keep in mind that if I got something in my beard and it's there, he says, well, what you got to do is this. You got to shave your head, shave your beard, but you leave that one spot alone because I got to know where that spot is. And if I see anything spreading from that spot, well, we got an issue here. So I love the fact that he says, but, you know, so many times we don't want to deal with the sin. I can't see it. I can't deal with it. You know, I don't really see anything on there. It's kind of not on the surface. And God says, listen, if you can't see it, you gotta just clear out all the other debris so that you can see what it is clearly. And I love that about sin. Sometimes we don't want to look at it. He says, listen, you gotta get rid of this, get rid of this, get rid of this. And I gotta get rid of things so that I can really focus on what is the issue of my sin. And so I love the fact is he just, verse 3, shave himself. Just clear out all the external, but the scale he shall not shave, and the priest shall isolate the one who has a scale another 7 days. Again, the waiting process. On the seventh day, the priest shall examine the scale. Indeed, if the scale has not spread over the skin and does not appear deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scale should at all spread over the skin after his cleansing, now again, it's not staying there, it's growing. We see here, verse 36, that the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the scale has spread over the skin, the priest need not seek for a yellow hair, he is unclean. So in other words, it's growing, the leaven is leveling the whole lump. Now, verse 37, if the scale appears to be at a standstill, and there is no black hair growing up in it, the scale is healed, he's clean, the priest shall pronounce him clean. So, now we understand that this is what begins to happen with just that area of if you have a sore on your head or your beard. Now, verse 38 and verse 39 is again different. This is where now there's a change of the color. Let me just read 38 and 39 to you. If a man or a woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, specifically white, bright spots. And then the priest shall look, and indeed the bright spots on the skin are dull white, as it is a white spot that grows on the skin. He's clean. So you understand there's a brightness white, which is that glory, the glorying of the flesh. But then there's this dull white that all of a sudden it's not the glorying of the flesh, but it's something that imitates it. And that's why you've got to look. That's why you've got to inspect, because there's sometimes like, am I really glorying in my flesh? Am I really, it's like, actually, no, I'm glorying in the Lord. And so, but the flesh itself is rejoicing in what God is doing. You understand? So there's this self-reflection that comes, and a friend's reflection that comes. And so we begin to look at this. And so if it's one that is dull, it doesn't stand out. Now keep in mind that there are certain sins that are deep-rooted, it's glorying, and it's locked in there. There's other sins that aren't glorying and deep-rooted, but it's unintentional. You know, something happened, I reacted to it, but it's not a norm for me. That's a dull sin. Do you understand? It's not anything that's not going to make me completely unclean. I got to remove from the Lord. It's like, but I got to deal with it. I got to confess it. I got to repent it. I got to do it. But it's dull. It's still not perfect. It's still not the clean flesh, but it's a dull. But that would be what I would consider unintentional. It's not deep rooted. It's not anchored in. And so when it's there and it's a dull white, it doesn't stand out. That's what happens with unintentional sin. It just doesn't stand out, but it's still, I want to examine it. I want to look at it. It's still something that the Lord has made me aware of. Now in verse 40, as for the man whose hair is fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean. Now this should make a lot of men happy. Just because the hair falls from your head, it doesn't mean that you're unclean. Just keep in mind that the hair has been there. It had a good run. And now it's moving on to greener pastures or other pastures or something. So, but it's okay. If the hair falls out, it doesn't mean you're unclean. However, it does say this: he whose hair has fallen from his forehead, he is bald on the forehead, but he's clean. So sometimes your whole head is bald. Sometimes your front begins to recede back. Sometimes your back begins to disappear. So it all covers wherever. But if it's leaving, it doesn't mean you're unclean. It just means that it's leading. And if there is, verse 42, on the bald head or on the bald forehead, a reddish white sore, it's leprosy breaking out on his bald head or his bald forehead. Then the priest shall examine it. And indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on his bald head or on his bald forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin or body, he is a leprous man, he's unclean. So again, it's all about the sore, it's all about the flesh, it's all about that expanding out. Now verse 45, he now begins to say this: now if the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. His dwelling place shall be outside the camp. So now, once you recognize you're unclean, you have this process. Your clothes are torn. It's a type of mourning. Your head is bare. You now shave your head. You don't cover it. You cover your mustache and you cry, unclean, unclean. So it's a grieving process of sin. And I think this is where it should be. So, but what happens is this man who has this sin, and you're not going through the process, it's not cleansed yet, the flesh is still, you know, growing, you're outside the camp. God says, I got to separate you. I have to separate you. And so I love the fact that as we go through this, we begin to see here just that heart. Now, it moves from there to the garments. We see the flesh now, but now in verse 47, also if the garment was leprous, plague, on whether it was a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it is in the warp or the woof of the linen or the wool, whether in leather or any other, anything made of leather, and if the plague is greenish or reddish in the garment of the leather, whether in the warp or the woof, or in anything made of leather, it's a leprous plague and shall be shown to the priest. So now he's looking at the garments, whether it's linen, whether it's wool. And now he calls it the warp and the woof. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with Old King James, the warp is when you weave the cloth. The woof is when you knit the cloth. And so you have these two types of it. So whether it's woven or knitted, it makes no difference because it's all the same. So he says, depending on whether it's a wool, a linen, leather, whether it's woven or knit, he's going to say, listen, if you have this greenish or reddish, verse 49, okay, you got to show it to the priest. So if there's a discoloration of your clothes, verse 50, the priest shall examine the plague and isolate that which has the plague for 7 days. Again, patience, look at it, and he shall examine the plague on the seventh day. If the plague has spread on the garment, either in the warp or the woof, or in the leather or anything made of leather, the plague is an act of leprosy, it's unclean. So if it spreads in the clothes, what do you do? So keep in mind that there are clothes that we wear as Christians. We have the robe of righteousness given by Christ, and then we have our garments of the flesh. And so am I clothed in Christ's righteousness, or am I trying to clothe myself in my own righteousness? So regardless of the garment, when I begin to see it's fleshly, it's carnal, it's unclean, what does he say to do to that form of righteousness? Well, in verse 50, he says, therefore, he shall therefore burn that garment. It's just got to go. Burn it. Destroy it. If it's your own righteousness, your own robe that you're creating, burn it, get rid of it. Burn that garment, which is the plague, whether warp or woof, wool or linen, or in wool or in linen or anything of leather, for in his act of leprosy, the garment shall be burned in the fire. Don't try to salvage any of it. Don't try to say maybe there's good parts, maybe there's bad parts. It's sort of like the Amalekites, utterly wipe them out. Don't try to get the best of the sheep or the best of the cattle or the best of the leaders. Just wipe it all out. Burn it, get rid of it. Verse 53, but if the priest examines it, and indeed the plague is not spread in the garment, either the warp or woof, or in anything that's made of leather, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing which is in which is the plague, and he shall isolate another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine the plague, and after it has been washed, indeed, if the plague has not changed its color. So you've gone through the washing process, but there's no change, but it hasn't spread. Guess what? It's still unclean. It shall be burned in the fire. It continues eating away, whether the damage is outside or inside. So keep in mind that if it's not getting better and if it's staying the same, he says it's unclean. If I'm not looking to Christ's righteousness when I'm happy with my own, it's unclean. And even if I'm not getting worse, it's unclean. You understand? Anytime it's my righteousness, not his, get rid of it. I want his and his alone. So verse 55, the priest shall examine the plague. If it's been washed, indeed, the plague has not changed its color through, the plague is not spread, it is unclean, it shall burn it in the fire and continues eating away where the damage is outside or inside. Now, verse 56, if the priest examines it and indeed the plague has faded after washing it, then he shall tear it out of the garment, whether out of the warp or out of the woof or out of the leather. In other words, whatever's infected, get rid of that so I can cut around it. I can make a hole in it. So if that's the case, and if it's getting better, I still want to get rid of it. You understand? Sometimes like, oh, I'm getting better, so I'm fine. No, you're not where you need to be. Don't consider yourself fine. Consider yourself, because what? We're still looking at what? The clean and the unclean. I want to approach God in a way that he says glorifies him. The when I do my own righteousness and it's getting a little better, but it's still my righteousness. I don't care how much better it's getting. Until it's his righteousness, cut it out. Get rid of it. And so it's just a beautiful thing that we're looking at here. And so we see that in verse 56, you tear it out of the garment, whether out of the warp or woof, and out of the leather. But if it appears in the garment, either in the warp or woof or anything made of leather, and it's spreading plague, you shall burn it with fire, and that which is the plague. And if you wash the garment, either warp or woof, or whatever is made of leather, if the plague has disappeared from it, then it shall be washed a second time and shall be clean. So keep in mind that now you've washed it, it's good. Wash it again. And I think this is so important for me in what I'm doing. So when I'm dealing with my own righteousness of me, I don't want it. And so you take that garment, you allow the Holy Spirit to wash, allow the Holy Spirit to come. And then when I realize, oh, this is good, now verify it. Wash me again, Holy Spirit. Come and fill me again. I want to make sure that this is you. So you wash it a second time in verse 58, and it shall be clean. And so it's just an amazing thing where we take a look at this, how it is, this Hansen's disease or leprosy, how it spread. So verse 59, this is the law of the leprous plague in the garment of the wool or linen, whether in the warp or the woof or anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. So we know what we're looking for. Now chapter 14, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. So there is a unique thing that even to this day, there is no cure for Hansen's disease. There's no cure for leprosy. However, we understand that when it comes to sin, there's no cure for sin either, without Christ, without God. But God can cure leprosy. We understand that, remember Naaman, the commander of the Lord's army there in 1 Kings 5, he had leprosy. He was cleansed. Jesus cleansed the 10 lepers, you know. So we understand that that's what he's done. So we understand that there can be a cleansing. So when there's a cleansing, when God miraculously heals this leprosy, what do we do? Well, it says this in verse 3, or verse 2. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. So, and the priest shall go out of the camp. Now, when he's brought to the priest, he doesn't come inside the camp. That's not it. He's brought to the priest, but the priest is now outside the camp. I'm going to come outside. I'm going to examine you. And the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command him to take for him who is to be cleansed, two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. So you got two birds. You've got this cedar wood, which is, in a sense, like the cross. You got this scarlet, which is red, like the blood. And then you have this hyssop, which in Psalm 51, verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop. It's about this purging. It's about cleansing. So you have these birds, the cross, the blood, and now this hyssop, the cleansing, the purging process. So it says this in verse 5, the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. So you have these two aspects, and I want you to understand that these two birds are representative of Jesus Christ. Why? Well, keep in mind that he came from what? Birds are from the air. We consider that, you know, their birds are from the air. So you come from heaven down to earth. You're now from the heavens now to earth. And you have this two aspects. One of the birds is killed in a earthen vessel. So you have one aspect of Christ, this heavenly, now is in an earthen vessel. That's killed. Amazing. You've got the heavenly now in an earthen vessel, Jesus Christ killed. That's the first thing you do. Over running water. So now you have this blood and you have the water. The same thing that we understand where in the Gospel of John, when he was the spear pierced his side in John 19, what came out? Blood and water. So you have this mixture. You have the blood, you have over running water, but you kill this bird. So, and then verse 6, as for the living bird, he shall take the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, dip them in the living bird in the blood, and the bird that was killed over the running water. So now you take this living bird, you dip it in the blood with the dead bird, and you take dip the cedar, the scarlet, the hyssop, all of that gets dipped into a blood, and then it says this, and he shall sprinkle it, verse 7, seven times on him who is to be cleansed. So amazingly, you take this blood and it's seven times. It's not just one time. Seven is that number of completion. Now we understand a little bit why Elisha told Naaman, you know, seven times in the Jordan. That's why that number seven comes in. And so then it says this, verse 7, and he shall sprinkle seven times on him who is to be cleansed and the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and let the living bird loose in the open field. And so after this living bird, this other aspect of Christ is dipped into the blood, and I'm cleansed. The sprinkling on me and me with the cross and the red and the hyssop, and then all of a sudden the bird goes heavenly again. The resurrection. And I love this. You have these two birds, two aspects. One, Christ dies, because they're both the one offering. Do you understand? One, Christ dies in an earthen vessel. God comes to earth, earthen vessel. He dies. And then the resurrection, after the blood, after the sprinkling, after I'm cleansed, he's in heaven. The bird is let loose into an open field. In other words, the bird is not walking. Do you understand? He's now heavenly again. So incredible to look at what he does here. And so you have his death, you have his resurrection. And then verse 8, and he who's to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off his hair, wash himself in water that he may be clean. And after he shall come into the camp, he shall stay outside the tent for 7 days. So he can come inside the camp, but he can't come inside his tent yet. This is unique. You can't come, you're inside the camp, you're part of us, but you're not really part of us. But what happens is you shave everything. You shave every part of where you are. And so in a sense, what you are, you're like a newborn baby. We'll call this, you're a reborn baby. The skin is now soft. The skin is now shaved. You have no hair. Everything is soft. And you have no stubble nowhere on you. And so you have this shaving that you do. So in verse 8, he was to be cleansed, shall wash his clothes. Of course, the washing of the water. Shave his hair. Wash himself in water. So newborn, reborn babe, all of a sudden. And after he comes in, he shall come into the camp, shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. But on the seventh day, he shall shave off the hair of his head and the beard and the eyebrows and the hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in the water, and he shall be clean. So now after this completion process, now you're free to be everywhere. You're just welcomed into the body. But there's a time of just inspection. You're here. So verse 10, on the eighth day, he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb, a male of the first year without a blemish. So now he takes three lambs. Now keep in mind that the first lamb, according to verse 12, one male lamb will be a trespass offering. Verse 19, the priest shall offer the sin offering. Verse 20, and the priest shall offer a burnt offering. So these three lambs that you have, we begin to see here, on the eighth day, he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb, so two males, one female, and the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of a fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and the log of oil. And the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean, those things before the Lord, at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So the priest shall make one male lamb as a trespass offering for specific sin. We've talked about this before. It's not general sin that's coming up, but the specific sin is a trespass offering. The log of oil, wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. So the wave is not, the heave offering is not this way, it's this way. It's the horizontal, not the verticals. So as he does this wave offering, it's this before the Lord. Verse 13, he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering, and the burnt offering in the holy place. As for a sin offering, it is the priest, so the trespass offering is most holy. Then the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, verse 14, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear, this to be cleansed, on the right thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. Now we covered this when it was coming to the priest, the things that you take into your mind, the things that you're actively doing in your work, which is the right thumb, and the walk that you're doing. So those three things, always the right, always the source of strength, because it's the strong was the right-handed. So if you're left-handed, sorry, biblically more people were right-handed. They use that as the form of strength. So, and then it says this. So you have the right ear, you have the right thumb, you have the big toe in verse 15, and the priest shall take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Now this is different. The priest is going to pour it in his own left hand. Now, what is that hand? That's the weak hand. And I love the fact that here, as the priest begins to do so, it's just an amazing that when I'm here helping someone out, I don't do it from a place of superiority. I do it from a place of weakness. And I think that's what you want, someone who comes to recognize, I have my own failures. I'm not here to judge you. I'm just here to help us walk closer to the Lord. And so he pours the oil. This is the Holy Spirit. into his left hand. So you have this weakness that I'm established. In the same way, you take a look at Galatians 6:1, he who's spiritual, let him seek to restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, gentleness. It's that kind of thing. It's just this weakness area. And so he puts it in his left hand, and then it says this. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is in his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger seven times before the Lord, and the rest of the oil in his hand. The priest shall put some on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the right thumb, on the right hand, on the big toe of his right foot, and the blood of the trespass offering. And the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, so the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. So he puts the oil in the same place, on the ear, on the thumb, on the toe, for the what I bring into my into my head, what I bring into what I'm listening to, what I'm actively doing, and where my walk is perfectly. And so, and then the rest of the oil, you just pour it upon his head. You just like, I'm now anointing the completeness because you've been healed. And the Spirit just gonna just pour over you. And this is what I love about the healing of leprosy versus the healing of sin. Same thing. Only one is spiritual, one is the literal. So we look to this. Well, verse 19, then the priest shall offer the sin offering to make atonement. So that's now the second lamb now becomes a sin offering. That's the sin nature, not the specific offering, like the trespass offering of verse 12. And then it says this, verse 20, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering, the grain offering on the altar. So now the burnt offering, we covered that. That is to be completely given over to. And so all of a sudden the priest makes atonement for him and he shall be clean. But if he's poor and cannot afford it, then he shall take one male lamb as a trespass offering to be waived, one atonement for him, one-tenth of an ephah, fine flour, mixed as oil of grain as a log of oil, and two turtle doves, and or two young pigeons. And if he's not able to afford, one shall be a sin offering, the other a burnt offering. And then he shall bring it to the priest on the eighth day for his cleansing, the door of the tabernacle and meeting before the Lord. So now, if you're poor, I love the fact that if you're poor, you can do a pigeon or a turtle dove for the sin offering, the burnt offering, but the trespass offering is still a lamb. There's only one thing. And I love the fact that you can settle with some things, but not sin. Not that intentional sin. That, you go to the lamb. The lamb deals with that. So I just love how this typology is bringing this all into clarity. And so we see here, that now in verse 24, the priest shall take the lamb with the trespass offering, the log of oil. The priest shall wave them as a wave offering, exactly the same as what he's done. He shall kill the lamb with the trespass offering. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, put on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall pour some of the palm oil into the palm of his own left hand. Nothing changes. The priest shall sprinkle with his right finger, verse 27, some of the oil that is on his hand seven times before the Lord. The priest shall put some of the oil that is on the hand of the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, on the big toe of his right foot, and the place of the blood of the trespass offering. The rest of the oil, verse 29, once again, is in the priest's hand. He shall put it on the head of him who is to be cleansed and make atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer one of his turtle doves and or young pigeons as he can afford, such as he's able to afford, as the sin offering, the other is a burnt offering with the grain offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him who is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is a law for the one who has a leprous sore, who cannot afford a cleansing. So God says, you can be cleansed. And now he shifts over this now, verse 33, to the house, to the home. And before we go any further, you guys know Joshua 24:15. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. So if the leprosy spread to my home, this is what he says in verse 33. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron saying, when you have come into the land and a Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put a leprous plague in a house in the land of your possession. Now understand, God does this. This isn't, you know, God is warning you, this is leprosy. It's in your house. I'm the one who's letting you know this is what's going on. Verse 35, then he who owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, it seems to me that there's a plague in the house. Well, the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes into it to examine the plague. And if in that house may not be made, that all that is in the house may not be made unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go and examine it. So what happens is this. You empty the house. You've got it. I don't want anything to spread. I want everything. What I want is I want the that which looks like sin. I want that which looks like leprosy. I want that looks like the infection. I want that to be open. I don't want anything getting in the way. Sort of like shaving the beard. Same thing with your home. Get rid of everything. Empty the house, verse 36. So he comes and examines the house. And he shall examine the plague, and indeed if the plague is on the walls of the house, with ingrained streaks, greenish or reddish, which appear to be deep in the wall, not the surface, but deep, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house, shut up the house for 7 days. Isolation. Now, and the priest, verse 39, shall come again, and the seventh day look, and indeed if the plague is spread on the walls of the house, and the priest shall command that they take away the stones, in which is the plague, they shall cast them into an unclean place outside the city. So you rip out the wall, you rip out the stones, you get rid of that. And so, verse 41, he shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around, and the dust that they scrape off shall pour out in an unclean place outside the city. So you take that outside again, but you're scraping the walls. You don't understand, it's not just knocking a few things there. When you do that, now I'm scraping walls. I'm really wanting purity. It's not just, let's just do a little bit. No, you're really saying, I want this. This is my heart before the Lord. Well, it says in verse 42, they shall take, verse 41, and they shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around, and the dust that they scrape off, they shall pour into an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones. Now you're replacing it, the rebuilding. And he shall take other mortar and plaster in the house. Now if the plague comes back and breaks out in the house, after he's taken away the stones, after he has scraped the house, after it is plastered, well, then the priest shall come and look, and indeed, if the plague has spread to the house, it's an active leprosy. The house is unclean, and he shall break down the house, its stones, its timber, and its plaster, and his house. And he shall carry it outside the city into an unclean place. Rip it down. Rip it down. And I think it's so important, because you know that the Lord had talked about there's two people who build a house. So it's one on a rock, one on the sand. The one on the rock is according to his word. You're abiding in his word, walking. The one in the sand, you're not. And when the everything comes, the one in the sand, what gets wiped out, the one on the rock, it stays. And this is where if there's sin that continues to impermeate and penetrate what God has cleansed, and you let the sin come back, he says, just rip out that complete house. It's just gone. Get rid of it. And so this is amazing. He says, just get rid of it. Now, verse 45, he should break down the walls of its stones, its timbers, all of the plasters of the house, and he should carry them outside the city to an unclean place. Moreover, he who goes into that house while it is shut up shall be unclean. So you walk into it, you're unclean, and you're unclean till evening. He who lies down in the house, now you have to wash your clothes. And he who eats in the house still has to wash clothes. So if you just walk in, you're unclean. But if you go and you sit or you touch, now you have to wash all your clothes, because now that leaven leavens the lump even more so. So verse 48, but the priest comes and examines, and indeed the plague has not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Does that sound familiar? Same thing. The same work that cleanses me cleanses my home. And so we see here, then he shall kill one of the birds in the earthen vessel. One of the heavenly now is earthen vessel, overrunning water with the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit. And he shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, the scarlet, the living bird, dip them in the blood of the slain bird and the running water, and the sprinkling of the house seven times. So now he takes the same thing, rather sprinkle on the person, now he sprinkles on the house. And it says this, and he shall cleanse the house, verse 52, with the blood of the bird and with the running water and the living bird and the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet. And then they shall let the living bird loose outside the city in the open field and make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. Again, freedom, back to the heavens, the resurrection. So you see this beautiful picture of this is the cleansing. This is the cleansing. Now, verse 54, this is the law for any leper, sore and scale. We looked at that. For the leprosy of the garment and the house, we looked at that. The swelling of a scab and a bright spot, we looked at that. To teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your heart. Just the grace of Lord taking us through these passages. Just the constant reminder again and again and again that when it's sin, you got to deal with it. If it's the flesh, if it's glorying in the flesh, if it's deep in the flesh, it's got to be dealt with. You can't just let it lie. And it makes me unclean. It removes me from the sweetness of the fellowship, Lord. It takes me outside the camp. But yet, Lord, you can cleanse it. You, through your spirit, can do a work. As only God cleanses and cures leprosy, enhances these, only you can clear and cleanse sin from us. And so we ask that you would do it from us, from any, you know, that we would only wear the garment of righteousness, that we would, Father, let it so that both as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord in pureness and holiness and in worship, sincerity, and seek after those things that are clean. So do the work in and through us. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all the saints of God said,
Amen. Amen.